whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
So you can understand that, right?
Yeah, you can understand that.
I want to know if love is wild. I want to know if love is real.
Did somebody say you couldn't understand?
That's like all the haters on Bruce. Like, oh, he just sounds like he's like.
No, that's Rocky.
Yeah, I'm a Screamo fan, so you won't.
Turn me up with Clarence, R.I.P.
Yeah, what a great, great saxophonist.
He's no Bill Clinton.
He's no Kenny G.
Wrong instrument. You know, Kenny,
Kenny G plays the saxophone. The soprano saxophone. Oh. Yes, he does.
I thought he played something different.
No, that's the soprano sax. This is the alto sax or the tenor sax that Clarence Clemons has played, depending on the...
Mac, you want to guess who Bruce Springsteen's saxophonist is now? It's real easy.
Kenny G.
It's the son of Clarence Clemons, his son.
That's right, it is.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's cool.
That's right. Looks just like him as a younger guy. Huge.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the big man. 10th Avenue Freeze Out. That'll be our next bump song because that's when the big man joins the band. Shout out to everybody in Kansas City. Be safe. Yep. Obviously, more snow. We're tired of it. We're ready for the beach. We're ready for the pools. We're ready for swim trunks.
This stuff is over, man. Yep. It's done.
Get me out of here.
It is done. And you know it's bad when the kids are over it, too, because kids love a snow day, not a snow week.
Yeah,
especially after 2 weeks of being off.
I kind of comped it to like Thanksgiving week, where you have like your Friendsgiving, then you have your family's house, and then you have either your spouse or your loved one's house, and you're like, dude, I don't want it. It's like you were saying the other month, like you're just like, I'm done with the food. I'm done with like all this family stuff. Like, not saying that we're like jerks to our family, but it's like, I've seen enough people. I've ate enough food. It's done. It's been a week and a half. I don't want to do it anymore. 12 inches of snow followed up by 3 to 4, depending where you live,
right,
and just over it.
I don't know that anybody north of I-70 really got any snow this morning, though, because I think the line was pretty much like south of I-70. So you got it. I got it. Mac got it. If you're living up in the Northland, I don't think you got it as much as we did, out south. But yeah, I think that's a really good analogy. And I'll even incorporate the entire holiday time, like from like the week before Thanksgiving till like yesterday. Enough. I can't eat anymore. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And then we get 12 inches of snow. Then we get 4 inches of snow and the kids
get it over with.
Just move on. And so I was looking at the 10-day forecast, snow, ice, and the next.
But wait, there's more.
There's more.
It's coming.
I was hoping it was one of those things, like Kansas basketball fan every February is like, we need a loss. Get it out of our system. I'm hoping like Mother Nature is getting this out of her system now. And we are done with snow, because this stuff ain't going anywhere now. That question we had the other day, is this going to be here by Valentine's Day?
Yes.
Yes.
For
yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Because it's already January 10th and nobody's gone to work. Well, I say that facetiously.
Yeah.
Like school, like all that sort of stuff. And the next thing you know, you're going to turn your head and be like, I got to go get Valentine's Day cards.
Oh, the stuff's up already. Oh, yeah, the stuff is up for Valentine's Day.
Oh, I went to Hy-Vee the other day. I looked over. I was like, oh, they got their cheese stuff out. Never mind. It's all Valentine's Day.
Yeah. I was in a couple years ago, like a Walgreens or a CVS on December 26th, right? Jeez. That's the day after Christmas. And the lady from the card company, whatever they use, Hallmark, American Greetings, is in there taking all the holiday stuff down and putting up the Valentine's Day stuff. Like the next day, I'm like, God, that's just.
Oh, there's people out there that go after the day after Christmas and buy all their decorations. My buddy Alex, his dad, Dave, great guy. That's when he buys all the decorations for the next year. It's like 50, it's like the Halloween candy on the 1st of November.
Yeah.
Just go rack it up, man.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No. There's nothing wrong with playoff football either. We are so ready for this. Last night was a good, last night was like the appetizer. The first half, you're like, dude,
that's a hell of an appetizer, though, man.
Because the first half, you're like,
that's
all right,
bang, bang, shrimp.
Getting back into the good app.
What is the best appetizer? You guys can weigh in on the text line. Because that's
like from a chain or
anywhere. I don't care. Like you suggested. I'm in for suggestions as well. But
Stewie McBruce's nachos are good because it's like chicken and beef, and they put it like on a bowl, but like they put queso in the bottom. It's like the white queso. Then they build the chips. Then they put like all the toppings, and then they put more queso on the top. So like by the time you get halfway through it, you get the like hard chip, but you get like that cheese in the bottom. Great appetizer.
That sounds good.
Brussels and cauliflower at Third Street Social or Summit Bar and Grill. And then any sort of smoked salmon dip.
Okay.
I'm a huge fan.
I was watching something about cauliflower the other day on TV, right? Because I think it was like one of the cooking shows on Sunday morning or whatever. And they're like, if you don't like cauliflower, you were raised in the 70s or 80s and ate it wrong. And I'm like, oh, 100% that was me, because everybody loves this cauliflower crap. And I'm just like, not going to do it, because I remember my mother used to just like microwave a bag of frozen cauliflower. It would come out and it was like mush. It was awful. And
like, I'll never complain if somebody orders like mozzarella sticks or a quesadilla or wings. Like, those are like we always say, play the hits.
Yeah.
Those are the hits. Wings, mozzarella sticks, a spinach artichoke dip's always money in the bank. Shorty, what you drink?
Southwest egg rolls, bro.
Southwest egg rolls. All
Southwest
right.
egg rolls.
That's your, really your go-to
good.
Appetizer?
Yes.
So if last, because last
Can you
night.
You just order a meal as an appetizer?
I think he did. Yeah. I'll take the Caesar salad and
I had
salmon.
That last night, actually.
But actually, I did as well. See, yeah. I went to Jasper. We had a meeting last night for BMA last night, introducing all the new dancers for Dancing with the Stars. And
did you do salmon on top?
I did. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. It was really good. So good. Yeah.
I love a salmon Caesar.
Right.
It's the best.
But Mac will order that, and that'll be his appetizer, yeah. You know, not sharing with the table.
Well, we would get hammered and go to Waffle House, Uber there. My buddy would always order the like patty melt as an appetizer, and he'd cut it like into fourths, and we'd all get like a little square of it.
Oh, nice.
And then we'd get our meal.
Oh.
I like it.
I like it. Dude, you're on borrowed time at that point.
Yeah. I thought you were like actually acting like smart after drinking. I'm like, that's pretty good. They split a meal good. Oh, that's
no,
the appetizer.
We split the patty melt, and then we would get our own meal, which is the All-Star Special, which I'm sure there's people that listen after hours and give you my order every time. Don't eat it now. But then it was like, all right, you've got an hour to get home and release and go to sleep, because that's what Waffle House will do to you. But speaking of hours and days, we are one day away from playoff football, and we bring up a question for you if you want to be engaged with this, because we would love that. 913-586-7965. Welcome to Fesco and Dusty with Mac as well on 96.5 The Fan. Best home field advantage is wild card weekend. What say you, Mr. Bob Fesco?
Well, I think there's a couple, obviously. Mm-hmm. Baltimore's an unbelievable home field advantage.
27 degrees, clear skies.
Clear skies.
Meteorologist Mac over here.
Yeah, I like that. Baltimore's fun. I was there for that game where they just absolutely owned Ray Lewis. I mean, it was one of the most incredible games that I've seen in person. Stadium, great atmosphere, fun, rowdy crowd.
I do like Baltimore Stadium for some reason.
I don't know what about it. Yeah.
I know that's where they played the Replacements movie at.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know what it is about that stadium. It's just cool.
It's cool. It really is. The only problem with Baltimore is, like, most places, there's nowhere to tailgate. And they tailgate under, like, bridges and overpasses and stuff. And, like, but that stadium is outstanding. The fan base is going to be ready to go for that one. The Bills thing is going to be really good as well. That's a great home field advantage. And then Philadelphia, man, like that's a great home field as well. So you got three pretty damn good ones right there. But I'm going to lean and I'm going to go to Buffalo on this one, because anytime you get a fan base that's willing to jump through a table that is lit on fire, you win.
You don't like that guy that gets sprayed in the face with mustard and ketchup?
No.
That's a bold move, dude. No. Like, I mean, I've, you know, made ribs before, and I always, you know, put a mustard layer on them before I put anything else. And like, I will literally scrub my hands, and then like 4 hours later, I'll see I still have like mustard stains.
Oh, it's the worst. It's like when you're outside in the dirt, and you can never get the dirt off your hands.
The worst thing I've ever seen is a guy in the kitchen at Jack Stack.
Oh, no, please don't.
No. He burned his arm on the grill.
Oh.
And they tell you to put, because they had these doors, and you always say, doors open. And you open the door, and then you would shut them, and then he turned, and his arm. So what do you have to do to a burn? Mustard.
I've heard that, actually.
So somebody, and if you, he's going to lose it. But they put mustard on his arm, and it stings, and then they took a wet rag and wiped it, and skin.
Oh!
It's brutal, dude. Brutal.
And then they made him go back to work.
No. He went, he got like that burn cream, wrapped it, went to St. Luke's East and got checked out. I don't know. It was one of the most gnarly things I've ever seen. And then one time this guy pulled the cheesy corn out, and that so hot out of the oven. Brutal story.
Did he drop like a whole pan
He like lifted it and like turned, and the liquid cheese on top that's like smoldering hot all down. Remember Rocco? He works over at 98.1 now. That was him. Yeah, but I'll ask him about it next time. If you ever see him, he's always here Saturday mornings early, so you'd never see him then. But like, literally, the cheese went all over his arm, and like, literally, skin started to bubble. Be safe in the kitchen. Home field advantage. So this is interesting, because some of these teams are only going to play one home game, right? Some none. Maybe if the Rams lose, they won't play a home game at all because they're going to be in Arizona. But I think the biggest advantage is Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Because, like what you said, like the fans, the atmosphere, and what Mac puts in our rundown, right now, there's a 30% chance of snow. But both days on either side, 50% chance of snow with double-digit winds. I'm never worried about snow or rain when a quarterback plays. Wind is the biggest factor.
Yeah.
And
the cannon
is a little bit, you know, quieter when there's wind howling. And look, Buffalo, it seems like this is their year to prove it, right? They've got the MVP. They've got the second best record in the AFC. They want the Chiefs. Don't look too far ahead, Buffalo. Use your advantage of being at home, because in the rundown it says Bills at Bills, which that's interesting. They're playing themselves.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mac. I'm just a jerk sometimes. But no, I think that Buffalo has the biggest home field advantage because it is kind of like the Arrowhead atmosphere, right? Like you said,
it's a juvenile, fun atmosphere. Yeah. It's not an old man sit on your hand atmosphere that you see in places like, I don't know, Tampa, because they're all living in the home.
Right. The other one I think is a huge advantage is Tampa Bay. Because obviously it must be nice, 48, light rain, no wind, like welcome to Tampa. But 48 degrees in Tampa is kind of interesting, right? Like that's kind of chilly,
cold,
right?
Yeah, that's a little
people
cold.
Be in parkas in Tampa, be like, what are you doing?
Well, they won't be there.
Yeah, and that's a good atmosphere, right? You have like, speaking of cannons, you have the guns and all that that go off every time there's like a touchdown or whatever there may be. And this is a game where Baker gets to play at home. And Baker can be dangerous. He said that before. I woke up feeling kind of dangerous, right? Looked like Marv from Home Alone.
Yeah.
And that's a huge advantage for them because Tampa is a team that's kind of scary to me in the NFC. Like if I'm an NFC team and like Tampa comes knocking on my door, it's like, oh, well, they have Baker Mayfield. Well, go look at his numbers this year. Go look at Mike Evans, who's still there. You think Mike Evans is hungry? That guy's done everything in his career to have a playoff run. I know he's won a Super Bowl before, but he's, you know, wanting to solidify more. And they have a little bit of experience in that team, not a whole lot from some Super Bowl runs, but Mike Evans is there. They have a very, very solid thunder and lightning running back. You know, you got Rashard White, who's from local area. You got Bucky Irving, who turned it on halfway through the season. You throw Mike Evans out there, Kate Otten out there with Baker Mayfield at home in Tampa. I like Tampa Bay as their home field as a home field advantage. So Buffalo, Tampa, those are my two.
I think I'm glad that game's the Sunday night game, because if I doze off, I'm not going to care. Like, that's the least interesting game of the weekend for
me.
Really? Yeah. Like, again, Washington does nothing for me. I hate their uniforms. I hate their logo. I hate everything about that franchise.
You're going to hate my script then.
I have no interest in that game
even
whatsoever.
Even with Jaden Daniels, rookie of the year?
Okay. That doesn't matter to me at all. It's just two nondescript franchises, in my opinion. I'm so glad that's the Sunday night game, and I'm not gonna, it'd probably turn into a good one, but I'm glad that's the Sunday night game and not like tomorrow night or Sunday afternoon. Like that's the one that I'm like, then if I had to take one off the board, that would be it for me, because I think the other ones are really compelling. Obviously we've got, you know, a lot of AFC West teams taking place in this postseason. Just to let everybody know, on the national level again, the AFC West was pretty damn good this year, so I'm always going to be a fan of the games that involve the teams that we play and being to win the AFC West. So there's a lot of that this year. Packers Eagles I think is going to be good. The Chargers Houston game, very interesting because of what's going on out in Los Angeles and the impact that's going to have. The Rams having to move their game. Like, there's just nothing interesting about Commanders at Bucks for me.
Do you think the Chargers are going to be affected by the travel and everything? Because it's in Houston, obviously.
It is. Okay. They were traveling anyway. But I think I just put myself in that, and I think as a human being, like, if this was going on right now in our city, like, how would we all be reacting, man? Would you be focused on your job and what you needed to do?
Is Herbert a California kid? Because I know he went to Oregon, but I don't know if he's from the West Coast.
He seems like he is. He seems definitely like
I think he is a Cali kid. Because I know Goff's a California kid, went to Cal.
He went to Cal, yeah.
Another quarter. Like that's where I dive into. Because like some of those guys that like just play football there, they're not as affected as the guys that like grew up there, right?
Yeah.
Like Herbert and
born in Eugene, Oregon.
Yep.
Okay.
I thought he was from I guess he's West Coast, but
yeah, West Coast.
Yeah, Northwest.
Yeah, so he's obviously not California, but still, I mean, you're playing there. You're living there. Your family's there. I mean, it's just, I don't know, man. I think it's going to be tough for both the Rams and Chargers to compartmentalize, because all week you've been dealing with potentially evacuating your family, evacuating yourselves, doing all this kind of stuff that matters in life. Oh, and by the way, you got to go prepare for a playoff game on the road. Chargers knew they were going on the road, and now the Rams know. all of a sudden a home playoff game is now on the road. It shifts everything. We know how creatures of habit these guys are in professional sports, and God forbid one thing goes left instead of right and they lose their minds. But that's kind of how this affects things. I'm very interested to see the performance of both the Rams and Chargers this weekend.
Both of which have experienced head coaches, which I think helps a lot in these sorts of situations.
Sure it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure it does.
Unknown. You've got anxiety. You've got lots of different things. He's like, hey, I've done this for 20 years. Here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to help you. Don't worry, man.
Yeah, but this is like something we've never ever seen before. Like, this is just a situation that nobody in that area is immune from right now, right? Just because you played in the NFL doesn't mean you're immune from these wildfires. I mean, that's why I keep going back to this J.J. Redick thing. Losing his house tells you that's hitting the area where obviously a lot of athletes and famous people and, you know, whatnot live, the big homes out there. And how many people on the Rams and Chargers are kind of dealing with this and trying to figure out ways to deal with real life and then go play a football game.
Speaking of pressure, who's got the most pressure for you guys when it comes to a quarterback in this playoff round?
Are we talking just this weekend? Or are we talking?
I would say this weekend. We can dive into it more once everybody's been fizzled out and we have the real playoffs start in 2 weeks.
And then next week. Of this weekend's playoff games, the easy answer is Lamar, right? That's the easy answer.
Not in my opinion.
But I'm going to go with an answer that I think is a little bit more. I honestly, right now, the pressure this week's on Sam Darnold. After having that stink performance the other night against Detroit on national television, everybody's looking at Sam Darnold right now like that kid from Penn State going, oh, he's got it. And so I think for him, it's important to go out there because not only is winning on the line, heyday is on the line for Sam Darnold.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's a big bonus if he wins a playoff game because considering
what we'll give you $1 million if you win a playoff game,
and then Uncle Sam will take half or 60%. I think it's Josh Allen. Look, I'm not hard on Josh Allen.
What?
I'm tough with Josh Allen because this is his year. This is the year that Josh Allen is the MVP. This is a game where if you want to be that guy, you play the Denver Broncos, who I think is a good team, but they're with a rookie quarterback coming into your house that we just spent time talking about when it comes to their stadium and how crazy it can be. And this is a game where you're supposed to lock this up quickly, efficiently, and move on.
Yeah.
I get it. Dusty, it's playoff football. Everybody in these playoffs are good. We're going to be back on Monday, and I guarantee you I'm going to get clowned on because there's going to be like five maybe blowout games.
Could be a lot of blowouts this
week. Just like in college football in the first round, there were blowout games everywhere. But again,
do we really need to increase the playoff field then?
No. Denver, right? Denver is an 8.5-point dog against Buffalo. Buffalo is this team that, you know, they have their sights set on the AFC Championship game in Arrowhead against Kansas City Chiefs. That's what they want. That's what they may get. And if they do that,
but you know what happens when you do that?
When you look ahead, you get a little shaky. Yep. And now I know the regular season's awesome and the regular season's fun because you've always got some other week to back up on. But again, this is the playoffs. The clock moves quicker. Players are more, you know, adapt to the surroundings. Everything is different. The lights are brighter. And this is a game where I think there's a lot of pressure on Josh Allen because, hey, man, everyone thinks this can be your year where you can actually challenge Patrick Mahomes because you essentially did what Patrick Mahomes did after they got rid of Tyreek Hill. Nobody knew your wide receivers. You had your main target, and you just kind of put the team on your back and won the MVP.
Sure.
You want to be in that conversation? You want to get to that battle again to face him for the fourth time in the playoffs? You got to take care of business. You got a rookie quarterback coming into your house where you could say, not yet, kid. Still me. Not kid.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not you yet. This is Buffalo. This is what we're known for. Sit back and watch us put on a show. And I think there's a lot of pressure with Josh Allen there. And I think it's, you know, Denver's got a good defensive line. They got good pressure. Can Josh Allen be, you know, contained? I know that I'm hard. I said on Josh Allen.
Well, nobody knows that. I mean, that's what we heard right there.
Subjective.
I think obviously there's a lot of pressure on Josh Allen.
I like
right?
the Lamar take, but again, people will give him an excuse because Zay Flowers is
Zay playing. Flowers
and
is
I'm
playing.
Not hearing
yeah.
that. No.
Yeah, okay.
We watched Mahomes with Kadarius Toney, Marquez Valdes-Scantling on the road. Do it.
Those Lamar, are good wide receivers, though.
Yeah. Miss me with that. Lamar.
What did Zay Flowers do last year in the playoffs?
Oh, that's right. He flexed and then fumbled.
What did MVS do last year in the playoff? Iced a game.
He had a great game.
Against those Ravens. Poor MVS, man. He had a touchdown taken away that would have been an incentive.
Yeah, I feel bad for him.
You're a two-time, maybe three-time MVP. Win this game. Win this game at home.
So
I don't care that your wide receiver's out.
Okay, I don't disagree with that.
So
I don't want to hear that excuse.
You say Darnold, I say Allen?
Yeah. I'm fine with any of those three. Yeah, I'd go Lamar, though.
Is there any pressure on C.J. Stroud? No, house money.
I'll get to my script.
I don't know that they're house money. I just don't think people care. Just being honest with you, who cares about the Texans?
We know they're bad. That's part of
Who's got more pressure out of these three quarterbacks? C.J. Stroud, Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels.
Oh, I don't think any of them have any pressure.
Really. I guess CJ, but none of them really.
I don't think any of them really do.
Is that dangerous or is that good?
No, it's dangerous because they don't care. You know, they're just out there slinging it. Like, I want to get back to your Buffalo take here for a second, because I do think Sean Payton is the better head coach in that game. The man has won a Super Bowl. The man has won a lot of playoff games. The man has dominated for a very long time. Sean McDermott has not, right? Sean McDermott has not been around as long as Sean Payton has. Now, I still think Sean Payton should have won more than one Super Bowl, but as Patrick Mahomes continues to rack these up, how many people are going to get an opportunity, you know, to win Super Bowls? But I think having Sean Payton on that sideline is a really big factor. And also, you mentioned Bo Nix not a kid. I think that plays in as well, too, because he's older. And, you know, you're not 21, 22 years old. You're 29, 30, however old Bo Nix is right now.
24.
With a Super Bowl-winning head coach alongside. Like, I don't think Bo Nix is going to go in there and be like, oh, my God, this is the playoffs. I think Sean Payton and that staff in Denver is going to have him ready. And we'll get to it in the script later. But I do think one of the Chargers or the Bills, I think one of those two teams is going to lose this weekend. I think there will be an upset in one of those two games, whether it's Denver beating Buffalo or whether it's Houston beating the Chargers. I think we're going to see an upset in one of those games, because the Chargers thing, to me, I'm just still with the fires. And I don't know, man. There's just something about Sean Payton and that experience that I think matches up well with Buffalo.
Do you have sad violin music you can cue up?
Yeah, Tyreek Hill announces he's going to be traded again?
No. You just let me know when you're ready to push play.
Give me one second.
Okay. You're going to hate this.
Okay.
Hey, you might like it.
Mm.
Somebody finally likes you and not me.
Oh.
All right, here we go.
Got it?
Yep.
Friday afternoon. I'll bring this up again. But early on a Friday morning, we have been poised from the text line, from the 620. Come to the King, don't miss, baby. I have tried many, many times from the 620. I cannot connect with this show anymore. Bob and Josh was the best radio team in the city for many years. Those guys pulled me through a lot of dark days. RIP to Fesco in the morning. I find it very similar to the day that ruined the Don Fortune show.
Oh, my God.
It's like Bob has taken a backseat on his own show. Hang in there, Bob. Last time I checked, it was called Fesco and Dusty. Hey, 620, I hope you have a great Friday. I hope you have a fantastic rest of your life. And I'm sorry, but you don't want to listen to the other show, because I can tell you for a fact, people are listening.
People are listening. No, we're number one. I'll just put it that way.
Oh. What was that?
Whoa. Really?
You want to say that in my other ear, Ace? I think you... Okay. Sorry, 620. But in all respect,
I mean,
kiss my ass. Coming up on the other side of 96.5.
This is why I don't read the text.
You got to.
You don't. It's
I cannot connect with this show.
How old are you? You referenced Don Fortune. Like, so that tells me, like, you've been around for a long time, and I appreciate that, and I love you for it.
Yeah.
I just got to say, kind of liking life right now.
Okay. I appreciate that. I'm loving life right now. Hang in there. Maybe that guy can get a trophy for the saddest violin song ever. Coming up, Micah Parsons wants a trophy that he's not going to be around for, let alone anybody in Dallas will be. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, and some other jag here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.